The first sports talk show for your sports weekend. The fastest 60 minutes in sports. It's the League Sports Talk Show on 94.9 The Fan and The Fan app.
Hello, Nashville. How are we out there today? Just good morning to you. It's going to be a hot day out there today. Anytime you wake up in the morning and you're on your way in and you do not see a cloud and it's already 70 degrees, it's going to be a hot day out there, and we are hot. And that is the League Sports Talk Show is here, your first sports talk show here, the first responders of sports every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. to 8. And I am the coach. Why am I the coach? Because I coach. That's what I do, Corey. So we got Corey Harris in the house wearing his Vanderbilt colors with pride.
Believe that.
Yep. And we got the Sedge sitting to the left of me. And then across the way is Randall, the encyclopedia of sports.
Good morning, Nashville.
And then we got Nick, the producer, with us, chilling like a villain on 3 hours sleep, usually on Saturday's morning. And that's not, oh, he got five. He got five.
Good night.
How's everybody doing this morning on this Saturday, this fine Saturday? How are we?
Good, I'm here, man. So I'm doing great, bud.
Breathing.
Yeah. 10 push-ups.
Y'all owe me some push-ups. We'll video that and put
and
it on.
And why is that, Corey?
Because the Miami Heat, Jimmy the Butler, served an L.
That's true. I can give you 10.
You can get 10?
Nine in the possible.
I'll probably get about 3.5. I think maybe 3.5.
I can pull it off.
Okay.
I'm going to give you
20.
I'll give you 20.
Take that bet.
Next level.
What's the over under?
What's the over under? There we go. That's the line. I did get inspired the other day, gentlemen. I did. And, you know, I get inspired sometimes. It's funny. My wife, she cracks up at me because before my day off, I've always got incredible aspirations and dreams as to what I'm going to do on my day off. You know, more of the grass, play basketball, go play, you know, 36 holes of golf, you know, go back and mow the grass again, you know, water the lawn, all these aspects.
Fix the world.
fix the world. But I got inspired the other day. Yep. So it was about the middle of the night. I'm like, you know what? I'd left my basketball that I never used. I left it at my work because it's therapeutic to dribble it around the dealership there at Nashville Toyota North. And in the middle of the night, one of the things that we have next to us is the warehouse for Amazon. So I'm like, I'm going to get me a basketball and get it delivered by 8 a.m. on my day off. Yes, I did. So I got a nice basketball delivered to my front porch. I got excited. I got all dressed up, wearing my Lakers shorts, my Lakers shirt. Yeah, and I went with the black kicks, too. I mean, old school going at it. So I'm like, I'll walk down there. And I'm like, I think I'll drive down there. It's about a quarter of a mile. Maybe not even that. Anything you add mile to, right? I don't care if it's a quarter mile, half mile. It's still too long for me. We'll just go with that.
Absolutely.
So I buzz down there, and I get out, and I get with the basketball, and I start, you know, I go with layups first, you know, making shots. And nothing like the sound of the net as the ball's going through it, right?
Right.
But then I started shooting free throws, okay? And I'm good. I mean, I'm being honest. I can still shoot free throws, and I can still shoot layups. So, but here's the problem that I have. The problem that I have is, as I was so inspired to be there, is when I miss, I got to go get the ball, Corey.
You don't want to get the ball anymore.
I got to go get the ball. I mean, so, you know, I was okay with that a few times, but then many more few times that I missed, I still had to go get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, man. And then the other part of it is, guys, is, you know, when you're balling, and at least back in the day when I was balling, if I missed a shot, I'm flying to the rack to grab the rebound and put it right back up.
There you go.
That's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the legs or the body, but they wouldn't move. I started moving. Corey's laughing at me. I'm like, and I shoot it, and I start to move, and it's like, why ain't I moving, man?
So, yeah, your mindset.
So you don't have a put back, you have a walk back.
I have a walk back, yeah. And the worst part about it is behind the backboard, right, it's all downhill. And so that ball gets beyond the court. It just starts rolling and rolling. Anyway, so I was inspired to play basketball. I'm still a shooter, okay? I can still shoot, but I need a – you know what I need? I just thought of this. You know Wimbledon? What are those?
The ball retrievers.
Is that what they're called? The kids? The kids?
They run across the ground ball and run back real fast.
I'm hiring. So anybody?
A ball retriever?
Yeah, ball retriever. I don't care. We'll go $20 an hour just to
sit at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah, there you go. Nick, the producer's there. All right, Nick, we're going to do that on my next day off. My next day off. But it is a great time for sports and lots of things going on, specifically here in Nashville. As I said, I just love this area after moving out here, and I just love the sports environment in Nashville. And, you know, the Predators go out and hire one of their own. You know, it's interesting to me how long some of these players and then coaches, but, you know, I think of Spoelstra, and I'll get to Brunette in a minute, who was hired by the Predators. But like Spoelstra, you know, he started out as a video guy. For the Miami Heat, and now look at him, you know. And going back to the Predators, I think it's a great hire. Anytime, and I think you said it last week, Corey, talking about Vanderbilt and the hire for the football program there was a Vandy guy,
Coach Lee. Yes.
Yep. And now you hire Brunette, who I don't know if you know this or not, scored the very first goal in Predators history.
Yeah.
And now he's running the program, and I just thought that was a good hire. I like the guy. I watched a press conference. Seems like he's intense, and I'm excited to have him as Predators coach. I think you all out there that are Preds fans should be excited as well. So, but that hiring within, guys, is so important. Why did you mention that last week, and why is that so important for some of these programs that they do things like that? Miami Heat is a perfect example of stability, right?
Exactly. I think if you look from a business model standpoint, how McDonald's said at one point, you even to own the team, I mean, own the franchise, you had to work in every aspect of it. And I think for Eric Spoelstra as a coach, period, I think it gives you a well-rounded view of what's going on in the organization. And so organizational goals become easier. But I think at Vanderbilt or the college level, what happens is, especially when you're in a school like Vanderbilt, well, with the challenges that you have with recruiting and the level of players that you're going to get compared to, say, Alabama, is good. It's almost like the military academy. It takes a certain type of athlete to be at Vanderbilt, and to have a coach that's been there and that is not just there for the contract or not just there because he got fired from somewhere else and it's going to be a pillow for him or a trampoline to the next job, I think is a good time. For the football program, obviously the baseball program, and some other programs have won national championships. So I'm excited. And in fact, for me, this is the first time in 30 years that I've really been active in speaking to the coaches and seeing what it is that I can do and being welcomed there. Right. Even. So I think it's a big thing, especially in the college capacity.
Hire your own. I mean, somebody who knows the culture.
Yeah, and
who lives the culture and understand by playing there. Understand the pitfalls that like you mentioned about the academic standard. Know what type of athlete to go after, and it rejuvenates the team. It rejuvenates the whole university.
Yeah, it does. It does. And yeah. I think it's a shot in the arm too, Sedge. When you got a guy that scored the first goal. I mean,
absolutely.
In Predators history, and look where he's at now. And I mean, you're going to have younger guys that come in that probably have aspirations like that that are getting ready to score their first goal for the Preds. And man, I'm so excited for the Preds. I'm excited for Vandy. And Corey is decked out in Vandy gear today.
I know.
Shout out Ryan Slay.
And as Vandy wins the SEC, so they win the SEC tournament. Mm-hmm. In baseball, the Vandy boys are out there playing great baseball. I mean, Coach Corbin's been there 20-plus years, I want to say, maybe 21 years now as the manager, and set a level of consistency, winning two national championships. And, they're the sixth seed overall in the country as we go into the final phase before the College World Series.
Yeah, they beat Eastern Illinois yesterday.
Was it Eastern Illinois yesterday?
It was.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And they're hosting.
They're hosting.
I'd like to get out there. I mean, I think they play again on maybe Sunday. Wouldn't be a bad thing. I think we have a connection for tickets.
Oh,
Corey Harris.
No.
So, So, but hey, good for the Vandy boys. I'm excited to see them hosting a regional and just that program. Listen, if you're a Vandy fan out there or an alumnus, listen to me. It's great to see your basketball program at Jerry Stackhouse Listen, I was there couple of years ago for a game, basketball game, and I think that the section that was the largest was five people playing musical instruments.
Right.
I mean, there was literally virtually no fans there, and it was against Tennessee. So, I mean, you can at least come out for a rivalry game, people. Right. I mean, come on now. I mean, it's your rival, right? But maybe it's not a rival because rivalry isn't a rivalry until it's a rivalry, right?
Correct.
I mean, if you're not beating each other, then it's not really anything. You experienced that at Vandy in Tennessee in football, didn't you, for a long time?
I did. I don't think we ever beat UT when I was there. We kicked a little behind, but we won a few battles. We didn't win the war.
But Vanderbilt got good news. Tyron Lawrence is coming back.
He is.
He's coming back.
How did you? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it was in the news yesterday, the other day. I read it up. He's coming back. He was put his name in the draft. He's coming back.
Mm.
So I mean, all things looking up for Vandy guys: baseball, basketball. I mean, football with the new renovations of the stadium. So exciting to see, and just exciting to see for all of Nashville. And then down the road, we've got the Titans getting a new stadium here down the road. So I mean, it's just this area continues to boom. The suburbs out here around Nashville continue to boom. I mean, it's just awesome to see this whole area moving up and moving into the NBA talk. I mean, I'll tell you. So game seven, it ended up being game seven, guys. There come out the push-ups, whereas the Heat, and I was wrong last week. I kept saying seven seed. I kept saying seven seed because I was lost within the Eastern Conference, and I was still thinking that the seven seed was playing the two seed, which was Boston. Boston was the two seed.
Right.
But I'd forgotten that they'd already beaten Milwaukee, the one seed, because they were the eight seed.
Right.
And it's unbelievable to me to see where they're at and the position they're in. Jimmy Buckets promised it would happen again last year after they were ousted, and now they're back again and playing Denver. What was your first thoughts? Have you watched the first game, game one of Denver and the Heat?
I'm going to tell you, they're just overmatched. They're small. They look very small.
Yeah, Denver's long.
Against Denver. Denver didn't have their best game.
No.
I'm looking for some blowouts, y'all.
I think that you're going to need a great game. You're going to need several of those great games from Jimmy Butler. And I think Bam Adebayo is going to have to play above his typical level. You know, he's been up and down really throughout the year.
Yeah.
I think if he can just get an attitude on the offensive end and make it difficult, I think they have a chance to win. But they may be overmatched.
Absolutely.
Especially without all their guns at top level.
Yeah.
Even with Hero, I think Denver, 5.
Yeah. Here's the thing, guys. But we said that about Milwaukee. When moves with Milwaukee and Miami playing each other. I mean, most people picked Milwaukee to win because they were the one seed, okay? And then most people going into Boston, the Boston and Heat series, what did most people pick, right? They picked Boston, okay? So everybody keeps picking against the Heat, and then all of a sudden the Heat do something. And I think that's something, is Spoelstra and his strategy. To your point, Sedge, they are small. I mean, they are small, but with not a lot of time left in the first quarter, they were up 14-11, Miami was. So they can play with them. They can play with the Denver Nuggets, I believe.
I think if Jimmy Butler does not have a great game, I think Denver can still win because we know Jokic is going
to show Jokic, up. Yeah.
He's going to show up every time. And even if he doesn't have a high point game, he's gonna have 20 assists and 20 rebounds.
He does a good job getting his team.
That's not even even if Murray doesn't have
25, 27.
Right. So I think it's a tough road. I think again, the Heat are gonna have to be playing at a high level with several of their guys. And the other thing I think is, I think fatigue could become a factor in this particular series.
So that break favors Denver.
And a physical and emotional. You know, I think you get so fired, you know, it takes a lot to go in and watch the news and you guys not going to win. You're not supposed to win. Like the mental fortitude that you have to get, you know, amped up and stay locked in game after game after game after game. Everybody doing that can just be a tough road. But again, with the Butler, I ain't going to count them out.
Well, they're saying that Denver has a 7-foot center. I mean, a 7-foot guard. They're saying that Jokic is a guard. He's another guard on the floor.
Well, he is. I mean, European players are trained to be that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they're developed. I mean, they're developed to shoot threes.
I look at just even sports in general. We talk about versatility. Right. In basketball, I've always looked at it as, I mean, why can't a 7-footer shoot a free throw? Like, why can't a 7-footer dribble? Like, you weren't always 7 foot. So when you started playing basketball, did you not learn to dribble, learn to pass, learn to shoot? And so I think the more positionless you can categorize a player or a team, the more difficult it is, you know, to be able to compete with them, because a guy can step out, knock it down, a guy can get in the post and pass, pass from the post, a guy has moves with his back to the bucket, a guard gets a guy that's maybe be 2 inches smaller than him, and you put him in the post. It's about advantages, and I think the teams that are guys that can do the most is just always a much more difficult prospect.
Yeah, and, you know, talking about big men, you know, 7-footers, guys like that, I mean, you watch these, you know, he's the new guy that could have a triple-double every night. I mean, he literally could have a triple-double every single night. He sees the court so well. He passes the ball so well. Had a triple-double. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he has a triple-double every single game in this entire series. Because why? Because of his versatility. Because that's who he is.
So I understand why he won two MVPs.
Yeah,
sure.
You can really see it now. You know, we don't see a lot of West Coast games.
No.
But to see him in this series, Denver in five.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing you just mentioned, Corey. You mentioned something that's intriguing to me in relationship to sports and athletes. And you mentioned fatigue, you know, mental, emotional strain, all of that can set in. I know it can. We know that. But for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem to ever be the issue for the Heat. I mean, I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's a combination of what they do or don't do away from the court. I think it's a combination of everything, but they just don't seem. And even when we think that they're done, you know, as the Boston Celtics came back to tie the series and force a game 7, they weren't done. You know, and at any moment I thought, Corey, I thought, and guys, I thought that they were done. I thought that they were done. I thought they were done before game 7 for those reasons, the fatigue, the strain, the emotional strain of being an 8 seed, and they weren't done. So, you know, that's the question that I have for this. I don't know why a team at this point of the season would allow it to set in. Do you? I mean, why would they allow fatigue and all of a sudden be like, you know, we're done and we're starting to feel it? Because it's a mental thing, too.
Well, you got a couple of things that aren't accounted for that's different in this in the finals. One, the travel, right? So after the game, they flew straight to Denver, if I'm not mistaken. They didn't go back to Miami. But even after this, they have to fly back to Miami. In Denver, you're talking about playing at the altitude.
True.
Yeah. But the other thing that is not really ever, you never know what could be going on in one individual guy's personal life. So when I say that mental part, you can talk yourself into the lane and you can get in the zone. You know, that's if you can get in the zone and you locked in, but you know, you just never know with individual guys. Now, the thing that's different in basketball and football, one guy can get hot and be on fire and win the game and keep you in the game, regardless of what's going on with the other guys. And that's the thing. I feel like Jokic and Jimmy cancel each other out.
All day.
Yeah.
Right? No matter how good a game Butler has, you know, I think they're canceled out. Is it Jamal Murray?
Jamal Murray.
That's just the X factor to me. Unless Hero is around and doing some heroic things. I just don't.
They're saying he's gonna play it. Game two, but yeah. I mean, he's been out. I mean, the condition comes in. I mean, now rhythm, he shows up. Timing, that's gonna make a difference.
Yeah,
yeah. And, you know, I'm not counting out the Heat. I mean, I just at this point, I've counted them out before. I counted them out in Game Seven against Boston, and you just can't. You can't cut out. You can't.
It's a tall task, Coach. It is a tall task.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about Bobby. I mean, Porter. You know, those they got. He's 6'9", 6'10"
Yeah, they didn't even have a good game the other night. But here's the other thought. Listen to me. The other thought is, guys, you know how many free throws Miami shot, right?
Two.
Two free throws. The whole game.
That means they were shooting from a perimeter.
Two. Oh, no, the fix is in, man.
The fix.
Come on, man. Come on. Two free throws.
Entire game.
Man, come on.
They did not go down low.
They didn't, and that's, you know, one of the things that came out of it was that they weren't being physical enough. They weren't demanding their spots on the floor, and they weren't. You could tell very easily that they just physically and you know what, guys, that might have been fatigue. That might have been. I'm not saying they lay down or anything like that. I'm just saying that maybe it did kind of start to get to them a little bit because they weren't being physical. They weren't dribble drive. They weren't getting down low. Now the other part of it is they don't have anybody to go down low with.
Thank you.
I mean, they just don't.
And that's why we say it's a tall task, because Denver is long.
They are.
And they went down low with the ball.
Yeah.
They went down. And
also, they didn't shoot very well from three. I don't think they can shoot as bad as they shot the last game. I think the next game, the Heat are going to shoot much better in 3-point.
I think so, too. I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of things. I think we're going to see a lot more free throws from the Heat. Yeah. I think that it's going to be a much closer game than game one. You know, game one really did seem like Denver was there to win it. And listen to me, I didn't think that Denver was going to lose their very first playoff finals game in their history at home. I didn't think that. Yeah, Nick, the producer.
I just quick little tidbit here. You know, Caleb Martin and also Max Strus went 0-for-12 from the field. Right. I mean, that's a big factor of the game. If they hit easily like three or four threes, this game's probably easily a single-digit loss or a possible 1-to-2-digit win.
No doubt.
For Miami, that is.
You know, and Nick makes a great point. I mean, not only that, I think it becomes a one-possession game in the final minute or two of the game with those things happening. So, like I said, I'm not counting out the Heat ever until they lose this series. Once they lose the series, I'll say I count them out. What are you holding up five? He's holding up Randall the Encyclopedia in five?
Five.
Denver in five? So the Heat are going to win one game?
Maybe.
Are you
so you're considering a sweep?
I'm giving Miami one in Miami.
Push-ups connected to this?
Corey?
Push-ups?
Corey?
You going to get push-ups
on this?
Man, let's do 100.
No. No. I want to be able to come to work.
Okay. Let me explain something. Anytime somebody is talking about a bet to do push-ups and they bust out and say, man, let's do 100. You might want to walk away.
I'm walking away.
You know what? Nah, it could be my poker face. You know what I'm trying to say?
It's baby, not. No, it's, no. I don't think it is.
Miami, I'm telling you, Denver in five.
All right. What do you got? Who you got, Corey?
I'm going to say, man, I'm sticking with my dog. I'm just going to say that he's been doing spectacular things. Like I said, sometimes when it's your season, it's your season. I'm going to stay with him one, probably more because I want them to, than what I feel probably deep in my sports heart. But I just got a feeling the Butler, he got a few more L's in the oven.
So you're saying Miami?
Miami.
Wins.
IAMI.
In seven.
I don't know how many games it's going to take.
I give you 30 push-ups.
On what? On who win it or that five game?
Okay.
Are you changing?
No, who wins? No, I still believe five games. But
you, on who wins it?
On who wins the whole series.
And you're taking Denver. Corey's taking Miami.
Yeah.
30 push-ups.
Okay. All right, 30 push-ups. We'll put that on Facebook Live as well. Yeah.
Not wall push-ups either.
No.
I've been doing those lately.
Dude, triangle. Hey, if you want to step it up, maybe you will here over the next – ever the series progresses where we go with the triangle.
No, sir.
No.
Traps burst.
Sedge, who you got in this series? Denver and the Miami Heat.
Denver is going to win this, and it's not going to be close. And I'm putting my body up for push-ups, I'm saying Denver's going to win this thing.
So I tell you, you know, I've looked at this a bunch of different ways, and one is this is the first championship finals for the Denver Nuggets, and then you have the Miami Heat, who could become the first 8 seed to win the finals championship. And I just think you putting those two things together, I guarantee that drives Jimmy Butler and has been driving him. Then for the city of Denver and for Denver Nugget fans and for the team to become the first one to for their franchise is big. So I think those two worlds are colliding and combating. And, you know, like I said, I'm not going to give up on the Heat. The Heat are who they are, and they're not an 8 seed. Obviously, they're right there as good as anybody in the NBA. And I'm gonna go with my Heat to win, and I'm gonna call it. I think it's gonna be 7-game series again. That's what I'm thinking. So Nick and I just fist pumped. So that's what I think it's gonna be. But I think they're gonna send Denver to a nice little vacation somewhere.
Wow.
You know, and
can we get 10 push-ups?
Yeah, yeah.
10, coach?
Yeah, I got 10 in me.
Okay. I got you, coach. I got coach's push-up.
Yeah. What? No, no.
Nice,
no.
I like it.
Yeah.
Corey's going to take my push-ups. Oh. You know what? I'm too prideful, though. I'm going to have to do my own, Corey. I appreciate that.
Okay.
But the coach has got this. I might even step up to 15.
What?
Or 12 and a half. Okay, I'll go to 12 and a half. I mean, something like that. 12 and a half push-ups.
Coach got that new ball.
Basketball.
I do. I am ready. I'm telling you, man, I am ready. I got the new basketball. I'm going, but I don't know if I told you that. I'm getting ready to go on vacation.
Yep.
Going on vacation next Saturday. So going to the beach, which is one of my favorite places to be on the planet. You know what's funny about vacations?
What's that?
Is how when you're getting ready to go on vacations, mm-hmm. you start thinking about all the things you want to do on the vacation. That's normal, right?
Right.
I mean, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, my wife, she's got the list of the restaurants, you know, and the casual ones, the nice ones, you know, and mm-hmm. things like that, and all laid out. And I mean, I think that, and then, you know, especially when you're going to where the water is, like everybody thinks, you know what, honey, I think we'll try snorkeling, mm-hmm. you know, mm. or, you know, you ever get that, Corey? In the, you know, you guys ever get that, Randall? Where, well, we're going to Hawaii, so let's try swimming with dolphins.
No.
Okay.
We're not trying nothing that we don't normally do at home.
That's yeah, but it. No, but most people don't. That's, but most people do the opposite. They're like,
know.
I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go cliff diving.
No.
You know, have you ever cliff dove before, though?
No.
I mean, so why are you thinking about Cliff? I think about all this. I was thinking about this the other day too. Is you know, they almost insist to put themselves in a position to potentially die on vacation.
Right, mm-hmm. supposed to be fun.
That's not normal.
Yeah,
it's you know, you got to do something on your bucket list, something you haven't done before, something that I tell you, I was in Jamaica, and you know, I'm. Without my contacts, I'm like legally blind without my glasses and contacts. And so, you know, jumped in, snorkeling, water gets in the thing, salt water gets on my contacts. And I literally cannot see. You want to talk about panic? I am.
Oh, boy.
I don't know how far from the boat and can't tell the difference between the boat and
the water.
Anything out there. When I tell you I was panicked, I did not even come close to getting off that boat again.
Look, yeah. I'm a sand monster. I'm going to sit around the sand. Yeah. And listen to the ocean. I spend more time on vacation sleep.
Right.
Do you?
Yes.
That happens. That happens.
I go to get to the beach. Okay, I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to go run in the water. And I get comfortable. Next thing I know, somebody tapped me saying, wake up.
Okay. So you just sleep.
I must be tired.
Maybe, you know. Maybe probably you know. Work hard.
That's why you take a vacation.
But yeah. I'll tell you the last.
I do not want to swim with dolphins. The rays. No, the
stingrays. Stingrays pass. Yeah.
Yeah, because I seen what they did to the, what's the name of the guy? Long time. Yeah.
Last time we were on the beach, right? You know, down in Panama City. They've got the helicopters that, you know, fly back and forth and back and forth. So I'm just laying there one day minding my own business on the beach, and I'm like, all right, Jen, let's go fly in a helicopter, you know? And I caught myself doing stupid thing like thinking like that. Why would I ever go in a doggone helicopter? And you know what? Corey said bucket list. Forget bucket list. Bucket list going to get you killed early.
Exactly.
You might get to a number, or you might have 10 on your list. You might not even get to 2.
Exactly.
By trying one. You know, I don't know. I'm different now as I've gotten older. I mean, I was looking at Panama City down there, and they have and I don't know why anybody would do this. They have a boat, a speed boat. Okay, speed. That's the first part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the second part of the problem is the name of the boat. It's the Scream Ride.
Oh no!
It's the Scream. Ah! That's the Scream. It's the Scream Ride. I mean, and I read about it, and the boat is 700 horsepower.
No,
700, no. And I'm in 0 to 60 in like 3 seconds. No. I'm like, I'll pass.
No,
I'll just scream by myself. Ah! Okay, I'm good. Let's go back to the beach and lay down. I mean, listen. The last thing I'm gonna do. Oh, go ahead, Cedric.
Parasailing. You gonna do it? You gonna do it, Coach?
No, because there's a high probability of death, and one of the things I'm not gonna become is a VDS, and that's not a disease.
That's not easy.
The VDS. Does anybody know what VDS stands for? Vacation death certificate. I mean, not certificate. Vacation death statistic. Wow. I am not gonna become a vacation death statistic. You know, I put those statistics like Memorial Day. We had these many people that died. I'm not becoming a VDS. It's not happening. And the good news is right now we're getting ready to take a break. And then we have a very special guest that's going to join us. And I'll tell you this, Titan fans, this special guest is someone you probably only saw the back of the name on his jersey. As he was running 90 yards. We'll be right back in a minute here on the League Sports Talk Show. I see you out there. Let's have some fun. Let's go.
You're listening to the League Sports Talk Show on 94.9 The Fan and The Fan app.
Oh, yeah. Hey, welcome back, Nashville, and anybody else listening anywhere in the country or the world, for that matter. This is the League Sports Talk Show, and this is the coach, and we got my man Sedge, and we got Corey Harris, Vanderbilt right over here, Tennessee State represented by Randall, the Encyclopedia of Sports, and Nick, the producer, is here with us as well. So we're having a good time talking about vacations, man. I'm so ready to go hang on the beach, and we've got a great show for the next 20, 30 minutes. I'm excited. We're going to talk a lot of NFL football, really the rest of the show, guys. So we'll have some fun with that. We're going to actually talk about each of the divisions and who might be the biggest prize out of each division. So we're going to go over that as well. But right now we've got a very special guest in the house, and I'm excited to announce him. Corey Harris knows him because they played in the NFL together with the Ravens. And this is Anthony Mitchell. Welcome, Anthony Mitchell, out of Tuskegee.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing, man?
We're doing good. We're doing good.
Mitch, what you doing there, buddy?
What's up, there, little Harris? I call you little Harris. You're a little shorter than me, boy.
I don't know. He's gay. I don't know if you've seen him lately, but he's got that do going. He's throwing a little 70s.
He's seen several hairdos. I think one year, he's seen the blonde. He's seen the
blonde.
He's
seen the
blonde. That's right. Corey did go blonde. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he did.
Corey always was on his own page, man. He got see-through shirts with his nipples pierced. Lenny Kravitz, what you doing?
Yeah. I was just going to say, Lenny Kravitz is with us. That's his new nickname for us here.
But call him Little Lenny. We're going to call him Little Lenny.
Little Lenny, I like it. Now, hey, Anthony, I'd be really impressed if he actually had a little chorus to one of Lenny Kravitz's songs inside him somewhere. You got one of those inside you?
Nothing but American Woman.
Oh! Yeah, buddy. Yeah, there we go. Hey, well, let's talk some football for a minute. And first of all, I got to give you a congratulations, and then we'll get to the most devastating play in Titans history. We'll go to that in just a moment. But congratulations on your son, Mr. Keaton Mitchell over there. And got to be unbelievable for you that the Ravens picked him up, where probably you had some of your most glory moments in getting to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl. Talk to us a little bit about that. What's that like to have a son, and I'm not saying follow in your footsteps at all, but a son that raised to the level that he needed to run a 4.37 40 and make it to the NFL. What's that like for you, Anthony?
Man, let me correct y'all, man. Y'all know that was blue. I think he ran a 4.27.
4.27.
Mm-hmm. I was great saying that. He was expecting a 4.2.
What you got to understand, this is my first time going to the combine. They moved the timing system after every group. There's no accuracy in that. And because he went 4.36 his freshman year in high school and 4.31 his sophomore year. So his whole purpose of going to the combine, he said, I want to break the record. And when they made him, if you go back and watch it, they made him move his foot to where now he coming out of somebody else block setting. But because he called me after the front, Dad, they making me move my feet. I said, well, you got to – ain't nothing we can do about it now. Just go ahead and suck it up. But, man, it was one of those things to where he's always been consistent, you know. And he's one of them. I got two of them. Both of them could really play, Corey will tell you. But yeah. He's one of the ones that listens to every word when it comes to football. And he take it to heart. And so, you know, it was like this situation here and now. He's been through that throughout his high school and college career, you know. High school, when he went to high school, he was behind two backs. When he went to college, he was behind four backs. And at the end of the day, he ended up beating them out. So this situation here now, you know, granted, it's more talented people to where they handpick, but he prone. I think he's in a good position. And for them to pick him up, it was surreal. I ain't know what to think. Because, you know, during the draft, it's a disappointment that his name ain't called. But when the Ravens call, you like, hold up now.
I was really hoping. I was hoping the Titans drafted him, and I think I said that on Facebook way before the.
Yeah, you told me
draft.
That. Yeah, you I told
said
me that.
I with what they need in terms of speed as a returner, and the thing about a guy like Keaton is, what was his fastest time on the field? What, 22 miles an hour? What was his fastest?
22.6 miles an hour.
This is a guy that can take it the distance anytime he touches it, and the object of the game is to score, and so. To have a guy like that, a hand grenade like that, to be able to do some damage from anywhere on the field, man. I mean, you thinking when you bring a guy like that in.
Yeah, I mean somebody with that type of speed. I mean, speed, as they say, kills. And you know, obviously, he had a great example from you, Anthony, because you were undrafted coming out of Tuskegee, and did what you did to. I mean, what was that like for you, and what advice are you giving him? Because it's similar paths, right?
I tell him this every day. I send him something before the week start off. Like yesterday, I sent him something. Today, I'm going to send him something before every week start off. This week got to be better than last week. I don't care how much they say you love, how much they say they love you. This week got to be better than last week. You're only as good as your last play. So this week got to be better than last week. I don't care what you did. Every time I ask, I say, how you think you did? And I say, you know, in order to be the best, you got to outwork the best. Yeah. So if you ain't number one, you always working. So don't settle in. And I tell him, like, you know, I had great, great mentors in the Ravens, and Corey Harris, Rob Woodson, you know, James Trapp, and then the guys I talked to, them the guys I hung with, because I tell people every day, and when I talk to him, I say, Corey Harris is one of the smartest players I've ever seen. He played every position as a skill guy. Name one guy that deals that. I mean, you got Deebo Samuel, but he – he's not the beginning, and this is what kids, I tell them all the time, y'all not the beginning. Y'all ain't did it first. Y'all just don't do y'all research. And the only thing that got y'all blowed up the way y'all are now is social media. Can you imagine social media back then when we was playing?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, so, if you had it back then, Anthony, we'd have to watch Corey Harris wear see-through shirts.
Blonde hair, like going to a concert.
I would have been snapping shots on him.
Let me give, as a coach, that how do you walk that line? I know that one of the things about Mitch, again, both his sons were great football players. His company now is at Blueprint Athletics. One, he's responsible for a lot of the development. But being a coach at Elka, how do you walk that line of coach and dad, and, you know, a bad day at practice and coming home and the coach hat is off, and being dad and keeping being approachable in different situations?
So my thing and the thing I did from them, I'm talking about from Park Rec, if it's something that's going to hurt you, the damage what you're doing, that's when I'm fussing. Okay. And that's how I separated it. Okay. I mean, you got to think, you got guys getting paid millions of dollars making the same mistake these park ball and high school and college guys making. So in high school, I just talked to him like, what would it, I talk it through with him. And when we get home, there's no more football talk.
Okay.
There's no more football talk. We handled it. We did it in film. And so and the reason why I think my kids still love it today is because as a park ball coach that helped them out, I never harp on mistakes. I help them correct it. And if you go and sit, just do me a favor, y'all. Just go sit at a park break game and see how crucial they make it on some of these kids. Mm-hmm. And so some of them kids, especially the talented ones, their parents going to be on the sideline. I'm like, and so my parents, they knew not to say nothing. I said, look, you got guys that get paid $1 million making the same mistake. And you think your son not going to make it? Mm-hmm. You going to shut up and sit down up there and let this kid enjoy himself? And so I kept it enjoyable for right. them throughout their career. And tell us now it's real. Mm-hmm. So now all that joy, you know, it's a business side. And the first thing I asked my son, I said, are you ready for the business side of football?
Mm-hmm.
I said, what you've been playing for fun.
Yeah.
Now they paying you for real to play. And it ain't, you got to do what they say pretty much. You got to take care of your body even more so than you did in high school and college.
Right.
This is your livelihood now. It is. There's no such thing as, I got to go to class first. Your class is football.
Right. Yeah, that's for sure.
That's how I separated, you know, the parent hat from the coaching hat.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I coached my sons. I have two sons that I coached growing up. I've coached 20 years of football. My 20th season was 2020 when I was named the head football coach at Kearney High School in San Diego, but okay. never got to coach it down because of COVID. But you do have it is a challenge to separate and to, you know, my kids actually called me coach. You know, when we were inside the white lines, it's just a different thing. And obviously you've done a great job and you have another son that's coming up as well. So let's go to something that's the infamous play here in Nashville that does live in infamy of in January of 2001. And I'm going to set it up for you, and I want you to take us through the play. Oh, by the way, a quick question before we get to that.
Go ahead.
Back in the day, and we'll just say in 2001, mm-hmm. who would have won a 40-yard dash between you and Corey Harris out of Vanderbilt?
I think I would have got him.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, he would have. He's 10 years younger than me, probably. How old he was. But my fastest 40 is 4.25. Call Miami and check it out. You ran track too in college, right?
Yeah, I did. My fastest 40 was a 4.36.
Yeah, he would have got me. He would have got me.
Man,
yeah.
Why are you laying down so quick? I expected so much more out of you.
Man, he would have got me. I don't want to be up here.
What's wrong with him,
you know
Anthony?
I got to talk coach. To God later. You know,
it's not really a lie.
It's the push-ups, coach. Push-ups.
It's the push-ups.
it would have been a good one now.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen it. And, you know, I'm going to set this up for you, and you kind of take it and explain what was going on. Obviously, it's a playoff game. Go ahead.
Before you set it up, I wanted to let everybody know, if you see the first block field goal, Corey, Ray, Rob Wilson, I tried to chase it down, but it rolled out of bounds on a one. And so they all yelling at me going to the sideline, man, stay away from the block field goal. I said, man, you can return them. Yeah. I said, you can return them. And then I was telling them, I said, look, dude, the fastest dude on this field on a field goal team is a kicker. I said, if I get caught by the kicker, I don't need to be in the league.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. I didn't know that about that game. I didn't remember that about that game.
Yeah, two block field goals. Al Dugo, Keith Washington, both of them, too.
And if you go back and look at it, you're going to see me running down the first one before we go out of bounds.
I got to go back and watch that. Yeah. That's cool because what happened next, I mean, you're less than 12 minutes left in the game. It's the score's tied 10-10. Al Del Greco, you know, comes out, and he's got a 37-yard field goal attempt. Not a big deal for him. He's a great kicker in the NFL. And, you know, talk to us about what was the strategy. I mean, did you guys talk about, hey, we're going to block this, or what was that like?
Yeah, well, we was always practicing field goal blocks. But, you know, so on that particular play, I was the safety valve. So if you go back and look at it, I'm stepped up in a line acting like I'm rushing, and then I drop back as a linebacker. And it just so happened the timing of the block and me dropping back was simultaneous. I mean, it happened instantly. And so I was like, okay, this is my moment, right? Everything that Ray Lewis and Rod and them, if you look at it real close, they waving their hand, get away from it. I blocked them out.
Yeah, yeah, and that's facts.
I blocked them out because I'm like, hey, they ain't finna catch me.
Situational awareness. Situational awareness. You know, that's something that Marvin Lewis practiced and drilled in us. You know, that team, we had leaders all over the place on that defense. And the fact that, you know, you looked at the Baltimore Bullies. You know, they talked about a lot of defense, but to me, one of the most important phases of the game is how I sustained a 12-year career special teams. I have the first return for a touchdown, kickoff return for a touchdown in Ravens history. No. And the special teams aspect is always forgotten. And so for, quote-unquote, a backup to block the kick, quote-unquote, a backup to be aware enough to go scoop the ball, be thinking about that. And because on defense, the object of the game is still to score,
right?
No matter what it is.
Right.
I ask defensive player, "What's the object of the game of defense? To do this, to do that?" No, the object of the game, the overriding thing is score.
Right.
And that's what was on Mitch's mind. And you saw his speed. You know, we had a couple of decent blocks, and he
did. So what was that like? So you snatched, if I remember correctly, you snatched it out of the air, right? It wasn't a scoop. Yeah. So when that ball hits your hands, I mean, are you thinking anything at all other than run? I mean, what were you thinking?
Yeah, I was like, get to this corner. Once I get to this corner, it's over with. I was like, hey, get to this corner. I look, man, it was some great blocks, but I was determined to get to that end zone because I wanted – I think another guy from – this is going to be crazy if I'm not recalling. A guy came out of Tuskegee. He went to Chicago, and they had, a block. I mean, something to where his guy threw him a ball and he returned it, but he got caught at the 5.
Oh.
And I don't think he was on the team.
Oh, wow.
So my thing was, hey, get to this end zone.
Get to the end zone.
Don't turn it over. Don't fumble. Yeah, hey, don't get caught.
Well, and that you did get to the end zone, turning point in the football game. I think the final was, 27-10 or something? I don't remember. For sure, but and then you went to the Super Bowl and you guys win the Super Bowl, just unprecedented. I can only imagine the feelings of all of that. But man, boy, inspiring to speak with you. And hey, you are welcome back to this show anytime you want. The League Sports Talk Show. We have a lot of fun. And I have one question for you to kind of sign off. So if you go on vacation, we were talking about this earlier. So you go on vacation. You know, all these people are crazy, and they're like, you know, I'm going on vacation. And I'm going to go swim with sharks, you know, or something stupid like that.
Negative.
Yeah. Is that, are you doing anything dangerous or semi-dangerous on a vacation, Anthony Mitchell?
Negative. I'm going to tell you, me and my wife went to Mexico, and we call ourselves scuba divers.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to tell y'all this story now. And I goes down. My car is like 15 of us. No, 10. I say 10. And so he takes you down one at a time. He takes you down one at a time. And you have to take a knee and wait for everybody else to come down. So I'm in this 35 feet down underwater. Like, yep, my head's going to get bit off by a shark. And the crazy part is everybody that went down with me, they was able to float up on the water. I was the heaviest one there.
Oh,
I
man.
Was crawling.
See, that's who I would be. I'm that guy.
I was crawling on the bottom of the ocean, right?
Oh, boy.
And he said, if you go to the right, it drops 5,000 feet. I like, man, take me up. I couldn't float. So he came and grabbed me like, man, relax. I like, you know, he gave you the sign language.
Oh, boy.
And I'm throwing all the sign language. He thought I was in a gang down up in the water.
Oh, boy.
And so I say I'll never do that again.
Yeah. I'm not, like I said earlier, I'm not going to be a VDS. You know, it's not a disease. You know what VDS is, right?
Right. Nah, go ahead.
Vacation death statistic. I am not going to be a part of that all my life. I'm just going to stay on the sand and stay on flat ground. We appreciate you, Anthony Miller, and praying Keaton gets out there and does some good things.
Absolutely. Question for him. Anthony, at your best time, who would win a race between you and Metcalf?
Woo, boy, you asked the question I can't lie about. Metcalf got me. I think he got me.
Metcalf, yeah. Eric Metcalf.
You talking about new Metcalf at all?
The new.
Both of the Metcalfs gonna win. Eric Metcalf and DK. Hey, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna tell
Eric
you
Metcalf,
that.
If your last name Metcalf, you beat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, good. Hey, we appreciate you being on the show, and we are praying for Keaton, and we'd love to have him on the show as well here in the near future. Just to kind of hear what it's really like, you know, going to OTAs for the first time. And like you said, now it's the business side and still fun. But, you know, now it's a combination of two things and what that's like for him starting out. So we appreciate you, and to let him know we're praying for him to do his best and keep getting better every moment, every day. Take care, Anthony.
All right.
All right.
All right. Boy, that's good. Yeah, good stuff. Hey. Good stuff, and, you know, gosh, he said so much, and some of these things we're just going to put off till next week because we just only have an hour to talk. But, boy, he said some things that were interesting to me, specifically that part of it's fun to be in school and go to college and play college ball, and it's fun, you know. Maybe you're in a fraternity, whatever, and it's fun, and then all of a sudden, you know, at some point he probably knew that he had a chance to play in the NFL. And same with Keaton. You know, at some point he probably knew, you know what, I've got a really good chance to play in the NFL. But then how you separate the two, the business side and all that, how did you do that, Corey? I mean, it has to be difficult.
Well, for me, one of the things when you find out of this business is just getting that contract negotiated. I was like a 2-week holdout just to get to the numbers that are realistic. And back then it wasn't the slotting system that is as systematic. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things that you find quickly. One, Mitch went to Tuskegee. Mm-hmm. I went to Vanderbilt. I'm in my 10th or whatever year. This is second or third year. What you recognize is everybody can play football.
Like, right. Oh,
everybody is fast. There are big guys way bigger than me that are faster than me. And so you get to that level, what you find out is that the mental part of the game comes in exponentially.
Right.
So if you're an offensive player and you know you'll learn 6 plays the first practice, right?
Yeah.
Then you come back for the second practice, you got to have those 6 plays and they add in 6 plays.
Right.
So for me, a guy that played multiple positions and different positions, it was the foundation of my understanding of football that allowed me to change positions. It was the middle of a practice when Ron Wolf and Ray Rose was like, go down there and take a rep on in one-on-one. My first rep in defense in the pros was against Sterling Sharp in practice.
Wow, okay.
And so to go up in the first play, I win, like literally jam him to the point that he like don't really take off. He like, okay, you got that one. And then come back the next play and made a complete fool out of me. I'm running in, he's running out, and then me running back to get ready to do a third one. They was like, no, that's okay. But that was enough for them to see that I had the mentality, because you can find a running back or a receiver a dime a dozen.
Yeah, sure. Right? Yeah, well, that's incredible that you had the aptitude to be able to play all those positions. We're about the 30 seconds, fastest 30 seconds in sports now, because we're ready to shut it down. Guys, we could stay here all day and have some fun. I wish we could. But I'll give you the fastest 30 seconds here and give you one question. Okay, and it's based on the NBA. There are 6 teams that have never won the finals, has never won an NBA championship. Okay, one of them is the Clippers. One of them is Denver, of course. Mm-hmm. One of them is the Timberwolves, the Hornets, the Grizzlies, and the Pelicans. Which one of those teams do you think has the biggest, best chance next season to reach and win the championship? Again, that's Clippers, Timberwolves, Hornets, Grizzlies, Pelicans. Denver's probably going to do it this year. We'll see.
If Dame goes to the Clippers,
there's
rumor
that could be something.
That could be. Yeah. That's anybody else? What you got?
I was going to pick the Clippers.
Clippers. Okay. What you got, Sedge?
I'm going to say, who do you get on this?
Clippers, Timberwolves, Hornets, Grizzlies, Pelicans.
I'm going to be good and stay with the home team. I'm going to say the Grizzlies.
Grizzlies. Yes. Hey, by the way, we'll be hearing after the finals as to what the punishment is for John Morant. Adam Silver says that they've already made the decision.
Wow.
We are the fastest sports talk show in the history of the world. We are also your first responders to sports every Saturday morning, 7 to 8 a.m., sponsored by Nashville, Toyota North. I got Corey Harris. Thank you so much. Nick, the producer, the Encyclopedia of Sports, Sedge, my man over here. Hey, you guys have a great sports weekend.